touch him, you will never be the same.
Amen. You believe that? Good to see everybody here this morning. I got a call from Brother Colley this morning early about Brother Daugherty, so let's just remember them in prayer. Two special brothers. I love them. I miss them. That's all the ones that's gone and hadn't come back. But this morning we're going to be reading from Psalm 71. And I think it's going to be, let's see. Psalm 71. Before we go to the author, let's just give him thanks this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us once again, Lord, to come and gather around your word, Lord, that you may have your way with us and that your word, as it comes in, it burns out that old and only allows the new to come in, Lord, and grow, and that you may have your preeminence in us, Father, as our hope and our glory, that you have brought us your word to deliver us, Father. We ask now, Lord, that you bless all of those that came today and in a special way that open the doors of these hearts, Lord, that you may fill them, Father God, and that we may finish this thing, Lord, and rise up and take our position, Lord, and know who we are as the bride of Jesus Christ. Not to be something great or anything like that, Lord, but just to show you to the world, Lord, is a precious thing. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and thank you so much for Calvary. And we ask this morning, Lord, bless Brother Wade as he's preparing to bring the word to us today, and just keep him and bless him, Lord, and let us be attentive to your word that's coming forth. Amen. Now, as we read your word, Father, you just come on the scene and manifest it to us, Father God. And be with us, Lord, and we thank you so much for this place, Lord. We ask it in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we read, excuse me just a minute. Got to get my eyes focused here. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline mine ear unto thee, and save me.
Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort, for thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art mine rock and my fortress.
Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous.
For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. I am a wanderer unto many, but thou art my strong refuge.
Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day.
Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth.
For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together.
Saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him. For there is none to deliver him.
O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help.
Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof.
I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine
O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Amen. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Amen. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you for the reading of the word.
Chapter covers the young and the old and what we should do in between. Declare the works of the Lord. He's always a help in the time of trouble. Amen. Brother Thomas, would you come this morning and lift up the tithes and offering?
Let us pray. Dear Lord, please bless the tithes and offerings, word of and word of all the different measures. Dear, please bless the church workers and everything else. Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers could bring up that song, Have You Been Beneath the Fountain? Key of G. Hallelujah. There's a fountain flowing Calvary we can always go to when we're in need of strength. There's joy and victory in that fountain. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. There's a fountain that
be
all stand as we tell him how much we love him. Oh, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Let's sing it once more as our brother comes this morning.
Clap of praise. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us today. We want to greet you in the name of the Lord. Good to have Brother Chris and Sister Jessica back with us. Good to see you. The Trobes. Good to have them and their family with us. Smiling faces. We appreciate your presence this morning. I want to jump into the announcements real quick. Remember, this afternoon we'll have communion, foot washing, and water baptism. So we're going to have a full plate today. Amen. And all that will be after the second service. We'll do communion, foot washing, then go to the baptismal service. And Brother Bob will be preaching for us Wednesday night. Saturday, June the 18th, which is this coming up Saturday, we're going to have our fishing trip. And if you want to write this down, I'm going to say it real slow, but we can get them to put it up on Wednesday night. But it's 525 Caudell Road. 525 Caudell Road. Now, this is just for the men. You women don't need to write this down unless you're trying to get rid of your husband. And the sisters say, praise the Lord. 525 Caudell Road, Homer, Georgia, 30547. You'll turn in to the left and go past an old house, and then we'll have signs out there for you. So bring your fishing gear. Bring your chairs. You really don't need a fishing license because it's a private pond, so you don't need a fishing license. But bring your chairs to sit in. And bring your kids a change of clothes, and you know what's going to happen. Water, kids. Somewhere they're going to mix. They're going to accidentally fall in. Thomas was accidentally fishing over there one time, and we had to, Richard, how deep was he? He was about knee deep in mud. We couldn't hardly pull him out. So, kids, water. Sometimes grown-ups, water. So somebody's going to get muddy. But just bring a change of clothes, and we'll have all the other, the eats and all the things for the young men. It'll start at 8 o'clock, and we'll eat probably about 1:30 or somewhere thereabout. We'll have some snacks for the morning, and just remember that. I want to, for my mother, thank you for all the gifts and the birthday cards and the cake and ice cream that were for last Sunday for her 80th birthday party. So thank you from her. Also, Brother Daniel Perry will be here Sunday, this coming Sunday, a week from today, for two services. And he'll be also fishing with us on Saturday. All right, now, after the second service, next Sunday. Everybody with me? After the second service, next Sunday. That would be June the 19th. After Brother Daniel Perry preaches, we're going to have a graduation celebration for all the 2022 graduates. We're going to have cake and ice cream if you want to get them something. I think Brother John Durrett's the only one that's graduating this year. That would not be Big John. That'd be Little John. So we will have a graduation celebration next Sunday for all graduates of 2022. We'll have cake and ice cream. Like I said, if you want to give him a little gift card, it would be much appreciated. Also, I've been telling you about this. So on June the 25th, that's on a Saturday, June the 25th, we'll open the church up for a prayer service, just like we did a few months ago before we had the meetings. I believe every meeting that we have, we're going to do this, have a prayer service. Brother Brown said one time, he said, the success of my meetings was what? People in their closets praying about the meeting. So the meeting coming up will be in July. It'll be July the 3rd with Brother Chris Long. But on June the 25th at 7 o'clock, we'll just turn the prayer service on or the preliminary service music on. Come in and pray. We're not going to, it's not a time to fellowship. We're going to come in and pray. And then when you get ready to go, then you can go. You can pray as long as you want to. But we'll start at 7 o'clock on June the 25th. It's not mandatory, but I believe in prayer. Amen. And praying in this building helps this building, helps the atmosphere. Amen. So on June the 25th, that would be on a Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. Also remember July 21st, that's a Thursday night. Remember, we're leaving at 10 o'clock, so be here at 9 o'clock if you're going to Ohio with us. And pack lightly. I know some of y'all don't know what that is, but you could probably Google it and it'll tell you what to do. Put stuff inside of stuff, and I've stuffed so much stuff in my boots the other day till I had all the stuff I needed inside my boot almost. So you can do it. Sisters, I know you're shaking your head, but you can do it. All right, so let's get to the Word of God. Everybody happy?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to part 42 of Who is This Son of Man? We've been looking at something. I want to try to get to it, and I want to thank God that he's given us all this with Brother Bob, Brother Luis, Brother Aaron, Brother Dale, just laid an absolute foundation for us to be able to speak on. And then we use, like Brother Bob was using his quotes, and if you'll notice, a lot of times I'll use them, I just don't say, but it'll be from a previous sermon that Brother Dale preached. So I don't mind using his quotes. Don't mind one bit. Amen. That's what our foundation is. That's what we're built on. Sure, the prophet's message, yeah. We're built on the prophet's message, but it took a fivefold ministry, and that fivefold ministry has a voice. That fivefold ministry has something to say. It can't be different. But if it's the same, and it's breaking it down to the people, then it's the same voice. And it all came from God anyway. It's not William Brown's voice. Let me read you this quote real quick, and I'll prove it to you. Brother Brown said in The Token, 1963, says, we're not to come together to talk about the message. We are come together to get in the message. And the message is Christ. He is the Word. That's right. We're to get into it, get beneath it. Yes, sir. That's what we're supposed to do. He was not responsible for any person out from under the blood, not one. No matter who he was, this is from the Token message, he was not responsible. All had to take not only himself, but his whole family. He's talking about the night they were getting ready to leave, the Passover. They're only safe when the token was displayed. We cannot feel safe until this token is displayed. That's right. You must come under this token, God's Holy Spirit, and it displays to you Jesus Christ because it comes and lives in you. Amen. So we're not here to what? Talk about the message. We're here to get in the message. And the message is what? Christ. Never saw a man that could brag on God so much, but interlaced in there, he's not ever bragging on himself, but he tells you stories that's related to his life, and he tells you those stories, and you never think that man's bragging. I mean, you hear people come and they talk about, me, I did this and I did that. Brother Brown could say that, but you'd never realize that he was bragging on himself because he's always bragging on God. But you do have to have a vessel that it goes through. So that's why we brag on Brother Dale and we brag on these other brothers. Like Brother Bram said, you're a liar if you don't want somebody to pat you on the back and say you did a good job. Isn't that what the prophet said? He said, I want somebody to tell me I done a good job. And I do want somebody to tell me if I did a bad job, but just make it real low and, over in the corner somewhere. So anyway, so let's bow our heads. I know we all have needs this morning. Thank you for coming. Lord, this place is full. Livia, good to see you back there. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day that you give us. Father, we pray that you would sanctify us now for this journey. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Bless your people, Father. You be the one that speaks. As the prophet said there, this is your message, Lord. It's not William Branham's message, but it's your message, and you have delivered it through William Branham to give it to the bride, to dress her with, Father. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit today, Lord, about you and your bride. Father, forgive us of our sins and bless this day. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with Brother Danny and Sister Joyce. They're on vacation, taking some time off. Lord Jesus, be with that family that lost the two young kids up there in Ohio. And comfort. You're the only one that can do that. We can say we understand, but we don't. But Lord, we just give it to a big God that never makes a mistake. Never have you ever made a mistake, Lord, and you never make one even in the future. Father, just give us, Lord, strength to finish the race, Lord. Be with our pastor and bless him. Keep him strong. Bless us each one, Father, and just give us today our daily bread in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a big God. I have a hard time being me, but I sure don't want to be God. Amen. And have to make the decisions he's already made. But you know what? His decisions are perfect. And being that his decisions are perfect, then he can come down inside of us and make us perfect. Amen. But we're still human. We have a human part that we can't. Sometimes we don't understand the things that went on, why God would do stuff. But why do we question God? Because he's perfect. So every move he makes is perfect. He doesn't make a mistake. He don't have an oops moment. We have oops moments all the time because we're human. But he doesn't. Whatever he does is in order, and he knows what's best for everybody. So we just leave it in God's hands and just say, Lord, whatever you have for them or whatever you had for them, then, Lord, we know where they're at. Amen. Who is this Son of Man, part 42? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Now, we've been on this predestinated to adoption for now months, but that's okay. I hope we broke it down enough to where we can understand a little bit more of our, this is nothing, it's just a plain, it's your Christian journey. It's a journey that God's give us, and you know what? These things are required. It's a requirement that we come to church. It's a requirement that we read your Bible. It's a requirement that we study. But it's a requirement that a minister stands in a pulpit and tries to give it to you, smooth off the rough edges, get everything kind of in order and in line, and then let God speak to you. Because today I'm not speaking to you. I'm just talking to you. But God's going to speak to your heart something that you need. And we've been looking, we run up the pyramid, and now we're back down at the bottom because I wanted to make sure, and we'll talk about it today, where that foundation faith is real big. You believe in faith? Because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. Everybody, we believe that God wrote a Bible, right? Yeah, okay. All right. So also we are talking about this adoption and that it's not your birth. Now, we've been back on the birth because that's your first stage. That's getting you started. That's getting your foundation. That's getting everything laid exactly right. And as Brother Bob was talking about just a few minutes ago, I mean, if you don't do what the Bible says, that's iniquity. Plain and simple. Because what? You're looking at the Word of God and you're not doing what it says. That's iniquity. And we all have that part, as Brother Dale said. Until we get to the body change, we're going to have a little piece of that. That mystery of iniquity is that person that we, oh, he's out there in the denomination. No, that mystery of iniquity is sitting right here today. And it's in me and you, in our spirit realm, and motivating us, even if we're born again. Is everybody with me? All right. So, you, like Brother Bob put on there, you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost, feel good, say amen to message, and you can come to church and you can read your Bible, and you can listen to the prophet's message. But if you're not born again, you're going to hell. Because you're going to fall under that iniquity where you have been taught. Maybe you haven't been taught. Now, see, if you haven't been taught that, then God can't hold you responsible for it. But you have been taught in this church that it takes three stages for a birth. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And over again, we have told you that it's not that you can have all this. We read it many times before. You can have a Pentecostal joy, but that's not all of it. It gets, now we do the same thing. We get started in something, and man, we just like a house on a fire on a windy day, and then all of a sudden, a month later, 2 months later, life happens. We make a New Year's resolution. Keep it about what? Maybe a month? Well, that's humanity, but it's not God. God makes a vow, and it's His Word. Amen. And He doesn't ever break it and never will break it. But what we've got to do is we've got to be sheep. We've got to yield to that. That's why I said before, we're looking at number 19 being baptized today. But I want to ask you a question. How many of those are going to continue on? That's the decision you got to make. If you continue on with God, or if you let the cares of life, or if you let this happen or that happen or this happen, and then all of a sudden you disappear just like you've done before. I hope that doesn't happen, because you know what? You're going to disappear one time, and that mystery of iniquity is going to take over, and you're going to stay out there, and you're not going to be coming back in here. Everybody with me? I'm just going to be plain today. Because this is the foundation. If we don't get the foundation right, you cannot build that house. And God cannot work through your life unless you let Him. Amen. Well, I've done this. Be in the message. We don't have seniority in the message. There's no seniority. You can be in the message 2 years and know as much as somebody knows in 50 years if you're sitting under the right teaching and if you yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because that's God. That's God, and the faith you have in that God. God is ready to give it to us if we're ready to receive it. All right? So the first stage, let's look at the chart just for a minute. We haven't pulled it up very many times. So remember, now, your adoption is not your birth. So we pulled it apart, and now we're at the birth part. We're going to talk a little more about that today. But that's your chart. That is you. That is your walk, your Christian walk in God. That is what the message of the hour to me has produced. It's produced a new birth the correct way, not under a false baptism, not under a shaking of hand, not under a write your name on a ledger somewhere and you got an envelope sticking somewhere in a church. But the new birth is, as Brother Bob was talking about, and we'll read it in just a minute, it's a birth of the Word. It's a birth of the Word for your hour. And that you will understand what's going on in the hour that you're living in. All right, I'm telling you, if you are confused, go back to the foundation. Well, I can't understand what y'all are saying. Get born again. God's obligated to do it. He's obligated to tell you what we're saying. He's not obligated to leave a child laying out somewhere in a desert and just say, well, there's the baby. No, He's obligated to nurture that baby if you'll let Him. So there's your stature of a perfect man. And we see that we've got to even go through these stages before we even get into this Son of God revelation. You see the bracket over there? And what I mean by Son of God revelation, that's the new birth. That's the new birth for your hour in your soul, making you a son and daughter of God. You are not a son and daughter of God until you're born again. You are potentially a son and daughter of God, but you are not a full-fledged son and daughter of God until you are born again. Read that right there. For as men are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But then you come up a little higher, and then we're going to have to talk about the Son of God through the seven church ages. We'll get into that a little bit later on, a couple of sermons from now. But then you got these virtues that you've got. They're required to work in your life. They're not just laying there as good words. And it's not a list, because you know what? That could be a New Year's resolution. If you make it that. But if you make it a life. A life. Listen, sometimes I wish to God. Me and Dad's talked about this. Sometimes I wish I could walk into service 30 minutes after I was supposed to. I'm looking at everybody. If you got an office in this church, you need to be here 30 minutes before the service. In your seat praying. Because people are looking at you. If you don't have an office, then guess what? Be like what I want to be. I want to be me. Anyway, I want to be some little wallflower that comes over here and sits down and just worships God and goes back home. That would be really nice. But I ain't built that way. I ain't built for that. And you shouldn't be built for that either. Especially those of you that have been elevated to a place that people look up to you. Well, what would it be if Brother Dale come in here 30 minutes after the service started? He's here before everybody is. And he's 82 years old. What's your problem? Well, get quiet. That's all right. Stay quiet if you want to. But you know what? That's iniquity. You know to be here and you're not. Well, I've got this. When he read those quotes a few minutes ago, did you see any list that exempted you from that iniquity? There was no exemption. Bob, did you leave that out? No, it just said if you don't do better and don't do it, it's iniquity. I'm telling you. Get in or get out. But sometimes I do wish I could sit and go fishing and go hunting and never have to worry about getting a sermon and never have to worry about your spirituality and never have to worry about the building, never have to worry about the special meeting, never have to worry about bringing preachers in. And I still do 4 or 5 jobs anyway, so. But I'm built for it. I can do it. I don't mind. But sometimes it'd be nice to take a brain vacation. Some of y'all have already checked out. But the revelation of the Son of God is what we're talking about, the new birth. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost was the same in every church age. It was just there was a requirement for this age, a requirement for this age, and a requirement for this age. Everybody with me? All right. Then, in the end time, we see up there at the very top, that was done away with. The Son of Man was rejected back 2,000 years ago by the religious world. Crucified by the religious world and turned against by the religious world. So Brother Branham had to come to bring back the foundation, but then teach us about the Son of Man, God in human flesh. That's what we'll talk about a little bit later. But remember, this God is not here at the moment, physically in his form. As he was 2,000 years ago. He has left and came back to get into your flesh. And to let your flesh do what the Son of Man did. Amen? That's a requirement in this age. Luke 17:30. Malachi 4. You ever heard any of them scriptures? We got message believers here today, don't we? All right, just want to make sure we didn't have a different crowd. But the Son of Man revelation is different because it contains a body change. It contains knowing. Listen, they didn't know so much about the mystery of iniquity during the church ages because they still, by ignorance, baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, believed in a Trinitarian doctrine, believed in eternal hell, believed all these things, miracles were passed and are gone and done away with. That was what was eroded through the church ages, even the people that had the Holy Ghost. Am I with me? Martin Luther had the baptism of the Holy Ghost in his soul. Church age messenger that God used him to get the message to the people. Yet he was a Trinitarian. Yet he baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, he didn't get all the way out, the prophet of God said. In other words, he didn't. He got out of the Catholic Church, but he didn't get all the Catholic Church out of him. Right. There was still some in there. Right. But now when the prophet of God comes, he separates it and says, look, that's the mystery of iniquity. That's knowing to do better. That's why he would preach to those people. He said, you Pentecostal women, he said, you get worse every year. He was preaching the message of the hour. He was preaching the Bible. And they were rejecting it. But that's the Son of Man revelation. So now, that's why we've got all that, but we want to change it back to number two, and we want to go back down, because I think we run away from, there was a lot of questions that were asked, because I jumped on up to the Son of Man, and we should have stayed down here. Let's go to number two. Brother Anderson. I want to thank Brother Anderson. He has done an outstanding job. Him and Brother Richard, Brother Joe, Brother Bob, the different ones. We need to give them a big attaboy, because that's a lot they do back there. They don't listen to a lot of sermons. I'm serious. They have to either re-listen or something, because they're back there working. So what? So you can sit here and listen and soak it in. All right? So here now we've come back to the bottom, and that's what we're talking about right here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now listen, you're not a son of God at justification. You're not a son of God at sanctification. You are a son of God at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's when God takes the old nature out and puts the new nature in. We've been talking about that for a few weeks. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Now, the spirit of adoption gets you started just like a baby, and then you have to grow up to that other chart that we were at where you saw the full-grown man inside that chart. But that's what's required that we get to that in this church age. Wasn't required. Listen, in the fourth church age, if you just got to right there at the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you didn't live very long. 68 million got martyred just by saying that they're son and daughter of God. But that was their age. That was their box. That was their spirit, the anointing that they were under. But you and I have to use, thank God, we use all seven anointings to get by. Pressures of this age, everything that we got, we use all seven church ages and their characteristics just to get through this time. I mean, folks, listen, it's an honest fact that they're going to ask you, we're going to be the most questioned people when we get to the other side. How'd you make it? We saw your age. It was dark. It was dark. We couldn't see anything, any hope, any light. There was nothing we could see. We were just trying to fight through our age, but man, you got not just a little devil, you got big devils. 200,000 demons were released, the prophet of God said, the Bible says, on the bride. Well, who's the bride? Us. So you have to start at the bottom with faith, but we're going to start with justification, sanctification, and then head to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want to comment a little bit. You know, we talk about, I'll talk about when I get finished in just a second. We talk about a marriage. And I was looking at yesterday, you know, we said, well, a marriage, when we marry Jesus Christ, then we're born again. Well, that's okay. But let's back up just a little bit, because you know what? In that marriage journey, Lily, Zach, in that marriage journey, there are stages. Even though you jump up today and run to the justice of the peace, don't you even try it. And get married, that's right. Even though there's a journey to get there. There's a journey. And we'll talk about it in just a minute, but let's get through this right here. But we have received the spirit of adoption. So who have you received? As we were talking about last Sunday, we'll look at it in just a minute. In sanctification, you get a new spirit, but you don't get the Holy Spirit. You get a new spirit so that you can what? Contact God with, and that you can live with yourself with. Now, we're going to put that in a marriage vow, so hang on just a second. Spirit itself bearing witness. Hello, somebody. Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Children of God. We all got to start as a baby. Look, we saw most of you, even the twins were born in the church, and I think Zach wasn't, but Esther was, right? Zach was here? My Lord. How old are you? Shut up. But now, he's not a baby now. He's fixing to get married. He's moved on. He's what? He's come to a knowledge that he don't want to live his life by himself. He's found a good woman, a good lady, good sister. Thank God. Amen? But he started out as a baby. We all started as babies, and now we're grown up, supposed to be grown up. But if children, then heirs. Because remember, when you become a child of God, even in the infant stage, you're a son and daughter of God. When this baby I'm going to talk about, when this union comes of this marriage, when a baby's born, regardless if it lives 2 minutes, it's still the son and daughter of who produced it. Amen? Everybody with me? So that's what we're going to start with here in just a second. If children, then heirs. So that child is an heir because he's part of the family. So you're an heir right as you're a child. Because like I told you before, in all of my journey and your journey too, when we first come to the Lord was so gracious and just pouring out a blessing upon us. He'd pour out a blessing. You'd ask him something, and man, you'd get it right there. That's right. Not now. You ask for something now, and he says, wait a while. I don't think you can handle it yet. Remember, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. Because he knows you'll mess it up if he gives it to you. So thank God. I know the Bible tells us if we don't have troubles and trials, we're bastard children. So we're going to have troubles and trials even when God gives you something. All right? So let's look at justification. But heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that may be also be glorified. So if you come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you get the new birth in your soul, you are going to come to a glorified condition. You may have to die and go by the grave, or you may be standing as today, we're standing alive and remain. And we're going to be glorified on our 2 feet with not anything to do with death. Now see, that's not here, that's up there. Everybody with me? That's why the headstone had to come. It brought Christ back to the earth to not just anoint your soul, but anoint your spirit and your body. All three. And we should want that. When we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. All right, so justification. Let's go real quick. Romans 3, verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because remember, we can't justify ourselves. There has to be someone just to justify us. We can't chop off our past life, but God can chop off our past sins. I mean, chop it off in our brain. Now, we don't go do that anymore, or we didn't get justified. When God has set forth to be a propitiation, what? Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, not for future sins. You can't get remission for sins you hadn't done yet. We're not Catholics. Said before, that's why the mob loved to be all were Catholic. They go in, say 10 Hail Marys, and say, well, I'm going to kill 4 people tomorrow. And that priest is going to say, well, okay, here's some holy water. Go do what you need to do. It was convenient for them. That's not us, though. Remission of sins that are past. And then what does he do? He takes those sins that are past and he puts them in the sea of God's forgetfulness. He doesn't remember any anymore because he has justified you. All right? He's justified you because you've come to a place that God, I'm finished with my past life. Don't want to do this anymore. Don't want it to be a part of me anymore. Everybody with me? Sanctification. Matthew 12 verse 43 says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeketh rest, and findeth none. Now, I want you to look at this just for 1 second. I'm going to put a big, like Paul. Paul would make a point, and then there's a parenthesis, and he interpolates for about four verses. Then he gets back on his subject. So I'm going to interpolate for about 5 minutes here. This is in your soul. Everybody with me? Under sanctification, right there, that is the unclean spirit going out of your soul. But now when we get to the sanctification in the pyramid, that's not in your soul. That's those demons that are in your spirit realm. Because if you're born again, he can't be in the inner man. He has to start working on the next guy, the spirit realm. So everybody with me? So remember that when we get to it. There is a stage of this scripture. Scripture has compound meaning, right? So when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And then what is that? That's what Brother Bob was talking about. That's the iniquity part. He comes back into your soul because you let him back in. He comes back into your soul, and then what? The last state of that man is worse than the first. Because now he don't have but one. He had one demon, now he's got eight of them, seven plus him. That's inside your soul and making you just as happy and sending a message to church, and my hair's long, my dress is long. Some of y'all need to work on that. And then I'm saved. Be careful. It's when the word is quickened in your heart. When the word of this hour is quickened in your heart and you don't deny it or walk away from it. You can't walk away from this word of God and be born again. Because it's word to word. Then goeth he and taketh seven other spirits more wicked than they enter and what? Dwell there. I don't want no demons to dwell in me. No. Spirit or soul. Amen? But thank God, though, if we take this by stages in the new birth, when we get to it in just a second, in the new birth, that's what burns that old Adamic nature off of you. Doesn't kill your soul. We don't believe in two souls. We don't believe in having three or four. You got one that God gave you when you were born. And by the Adamic nature, by your carnal mind, when you get 12 or 13 or 14 years old, the age of accountability, Satan starts working on that. And he's got right here, look what it says, my house. Right here. I will return into my house. Because you were born in sin, you were born wrong. If you're born wrong, then guess what? You got to get right somewhere. If you want to get born again. Everybody with me? The state of the person is what? More worse than the first. That's what Brother Bob talked. The mystery of iniquity. Iniquity, Brother Brown said, was a hideous sin. Not just sin, a hideous sin. Because you're looking right at it. You look right down at the Bible and it tells you to be in church on Sunday and Wednesday. You read the Bible, it tells you not to do this, not to do that. I want y'all to listen to something real quick. I'm going to make a point. Everybody loves grace. Amen? Do you know what grace really is? In simple layman terms, there's a law of God that you got to go by. Everybody with me? He has a law. He has 10 commandments. He's got the numbers, Deuteronomy, even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right? Everybody wake up and listen for a minute. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you've got all this. Do's and don'ts. All right? Now, you know how that works? Because remember, God can't change his word. He can't make exceptions unless he makes them. Everybody with me? All right, so we're going to go down here today and we're going to get on this road. And we're going to go all the way down to that four-way stop. Right there in the middle of town. We're familiar with it, all of us, pretty much. Now, if there's a cop sitting there and we decide to roll through it, you have come under the law. And you're going to meet that law. He's going to be in your window going, I need to see your license and registration, please. Right? Because you broke the law. Everybody with me on that? You broke the law. All right? Now, what is grace? Now, if we have a parade or an extra circumstance, a funeral. Everybody with me? If that cop's standing there at that four-way stop, and he's doing this, that stop sign goes out of existence. Because the man with the power of the law is saying you can come on by. How many times have you been at a traffic light and you stopped at a traffic light? And you know better than to go under that traffic light because, number one, you're going to get hit probably. And number two, a cop or some, or now they just take your picture and send you a bill. Oh, how do y'all know that? So anyway, confession time, good for the soul. But there's your stop sign, and you're at the stop sign, and listen, it turns green. You get ready to go, but there's a cop standing there because there's a funeral procession going through. Or there's a parade going through. Now, you have full right, by that law, to go. But somebody is stopping you with an extra special circumstance. But now remember, though, you know what greasy grace is? Greasy grace is that, well, shoot, if I could go under it one time, I'd just go under it again. No, that's greasy grace. Because when that circumstance leaves, you got to still stop at the stop sign. Same way up here, then I'm going to take it down. But that's what God done. God stood and he intermediated. He stood for you and said, I know you got into trouble. Come on, somebody. I know you got into trouble. I didn't let you, but I didn't make you, but I knew you would. And I made a law that made sure you didn't go through that stop sign every time. But the circumstances changed. The guy that wrote the law is standing at the intersection. He's going, I know you didn't mean to do that. Come on through. Oh, that's great. To me, that's the greatest, that's just a layman's term example of grace. But listen, remember, like I said before, don't go down here and go through it again when there's not a circumstance that the person that wrote the law is standing there. That's greasy grace. Greasy grace is, well, I got by with it the first time, I'll get by with it again. No, you know what? God's always had cameras up. Every move you make, you think man's got cameras. God's been on Wi-Fi for millions of years. He hasn't needed a string or a plug-in or anything. He doesn't need any of that. He's the master of the internet. Google ain't got nothing on my God. Amen? Because you know what he told us? I'm going to read you the scripture in a little while if I get to it. That he said when he give you the Holy Ghost, he'd bring things to your remembrance. What do we do if we don't get our remembrance? We go, Google. Oh, okay. But not with God. But listen, 2 Timothy, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You didn't read that one this morning. Bob, you missed one. But in a great house, he's only got 30 minutes, guys, okay? But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but wood and earth. We talked about the potters last time, to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. This is somebody that's got getting the iniquity out. This is a person that's saying, I don't want to live that life anymore. I don't want to do what I used to do anymore. I want God to take over in my life and him be the first one I ask, not everybody else. Sanctified and meet for the what? For the master's use. Remember, sanctification is clean and set aside for service, not put in service yet, because God's not going to use you until he's got you all cleaned up and got his spirit inside of you. Because that's the control factor. Sanctified and meet for the master's use. And what? Prepared unto every good work. We were reading, everybody knows Judas Iscariot was justified by faith. He was even sanctified. So there's Judas Iscariot, preaching the gospel, casting out devils, healing the sick. His soul was black as soot. And you know what he done? He made a decision to turn against the Lord, and he couldn't go back. His iniquity carried him to a tree, and he hung himself. All right, sanctification. He give you a new spirit. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. God give you a new spirit. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in you. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down. or he couldn't even live with you. So he has to get you fixed up first before he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kinds of places. He's got to get you fixed up so you can entertain him right. Today, we're entertaining God. Everybody all right with that? Amen? You come to get something from God? Yes, we came to get something from God. How do we entertain God? We worship him. He's our author. He's our creator. He's the one that gives us everything. He gives us the breath that we're breathing right now, whether we deserve it or not. Because the whole world's doing that right now. They're breathing under God's privilege of being a human being. So that's when you're on the first, when you're on first altar. But when you hide away, get his spirit. Then the Holy Spirit, none other than God himself, comes and dwells in you. And then there's something about you. The neighbor loves you. The people likes you. Now let's get to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is what we were talking about last week. We'll talk a little bit more. But I want you to realize, it's not just a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the new birth. Because remember, there is kind of a little difference to that. Because you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day on your spirit and die and go to hell. That's, you just saw the quote. But you can't have the new birth in your soul. Because see, the new birth doesn't affect your body. The new birth doesn't affect your spirit. Sure it does when you get inside. But listen, you don't get a new birth. No, you're still looking at the first one. But God made what? He made grace to give you a new birth in your soul where it matters. That's where it matters at, is down in the inside of the inside. He can't give you a new birth on your spirit realm. He's got to give you a new birth in your soul, because what comes forth, listen, we'll talk about it in just a second. You can have a child, and God forbid, if no spirit goes into it, that's not a human being. Sorry, the prophet of God tells us it's wiggling muscles just like an animal until God puts a soul inside that being. Then he becomes a person. Everybody with me? So you can't then be born again in your spirit. You got to be born again in your soul. And only God can do that. Seeing you have purified your souls in what? How can you purify your soul? In obeying the truth. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of God, the word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word which the gospel, which I preach unto you. Now let's look at marriage just for a minute. Is everybody okay? Just kind of coast for a second here, all right? Now take all away all the being married to Christ and being the bride, and let's just break it down. When you come to justified condition, what does that do? Think with me a minute. Justification chops off your past sins, chops off your past life. Everybody with me? All right, I'm going to slow down just a second. All right. Now, in justification, what are you doing? You're getting your sins chopped off. What are you doing when you say, "Will you marry me?" That's what you did, right? And since y'all are fixing to get married, I'm fixing to use y'all for example. Because we've been married all 40, 50, 80 years. And y'all fixing to jump into this thing called marriage. Is that okay? You're not going to faint on me, are you? Okay. I know. Lily's not. I know. But Zach might. But you made a vow to each other, right? Now, what did you vow? You vowed to get rid of your past life. You vowed to get rid of those old boyfriends. No more old boyfriends anymore. Not going back to those places I used to go. Everybody with me? You vowed a vow to God that you're not going to do what you used to do. And now God is so gracious, he can wipe that away. Now, me and you got to deal with it. Sorry, we're humans. We're in our brain. In other words, we can't chop off and say, "I never did that." You can't do that in your natural flesh. Only in your soul can God wipe that away. Everybody with me? So in your marriage, you make a vow. And when I come to justification, I vowed to God, look, God, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to get myself around somebody of like precious faith. I'm not going to go back to that place I used to be. So when you vow a vow, when Jen and I made a vow, I didn't go keep running around all over the place. Hello, somebody. I vowed myself to her. And God vows himself to you in justification. He says, if you'll continue, if you'll not break your vow, I'll not break mine. Because I promise you I'm not going to break mine. You might break yours, but I'm not going to break mine. That's why justification, unclean spirit goes out, but you still have that same desire. Oh. It's hard to change in 15 minutes. Especially when you got that old, I want to go out, I want to be with my friends. That's why marriages don't last. Now, they do more in the message, but they don't last because you don't sit there and talk about it enough to get to know each other. So when did I get to learn to know God? Not at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No. Why wait that long? Get to know each other now. Y'all spending more time together than you used to, right? I mean, talking and, oh, I love you. Right? It's a love affair. Listen, even in justification, it's a love affair between you and God. Because those who he's justified, he's already glorified. God knows whether you're going to continue on or not. You don't. But if you'll stay in that same channel, stay in that furrow, stay in that row, even with God. God, I want you to marry me so bad. He'll say, well, stop going to the bar. Stop going to those friends. Stop watching that on TV. Stop reading that book. Because they're getting ready to be joined. And you're joining two people. Actually, you're joining two families. The family of God and the family on earth. Everybody with me? We're talking in layers here. I want you to look at your natural marriage. So at justification, then all your past is gone. Now, what's sanctification in your marriage? You have not married yet. But as you get closer to that day that you're going to get married, what do? I just read it to you. The unclean spirit goes out. But now, I'm not talking about that as far as natural. But you do talk to each other. You converse. I want to confess that I've got this problem. I want to confess. And I want to get this, what? This demon out. I was just reading in there where Brother Brown was talking about if a woman vows a vow and doesn't tell her husband everything or he don't tell her everything, then the vow's been what? Right. Done away with. Right. It's a false vow. A lot of people have made a false vow to God. And they don't even get born again. They don't even come into the covenant of marriage. Because listen, why? One more time. All y'all know what I said about marrying. You don't marry for love at first. Because you don't know that. I don't care if you've been dating for 2 years. Hey, some things I found out about June after we've been dating for a year and a half. Some good, some bad. Same way with me. But same way with all of us. Yeah, Brother John Durant's going, she's making sure Alicia doesn't see it. But no, listen, what is the main problem with marriage? You're not open enough. You're not open. What's the first thing I do when I get mad? I shut up. Y'all don't believe that? She's there. But see, we're intimate. We know each other. I just be quiet. And she does too until she's like a pressure cooker. But that's getting to know your spouse. That's getting to know God in your walk. Justification. Chop off it. I'm not doing that no more, honey. It's just you. You and nobody else. You're sweating. You and nobody else. Isn't that right? What do you do though when you come into a justified condition? You get what? You get mule blinders on. You don't go looking at all this other stuff. You got only one thing on your mind. My darling that I'm fixing to intimately know. I want to intimately know. And you start off your marriage with a little bit of lust. Sorry. That's the way it is. Because true love is knowing all, knowing everything. And true love is what? A development. I'm talking about filial love, but listen, agape love is the same way on our side. What I was thinking about, on our side. We just don't jump up and get the new birth and everything's here. I just told you, you were a child. Right. You're a baby. Right. You don't understand everything. Right. But if there's no surprises, listen, God's not going to give you any surprises. You might give him some, but it ain't going to surprise him either because he knows it too. That's why he'll only give you the new birth if he knows you're going to take it and use it and go with it. But being married sometimes, we don't talk before the marriage. Find out all the little intricacies and all the this and that and the other, because you're going to find out a lot, I'm telling you, when you get married. It's like the guy said one time, you know, the mother-in-law looks at the son and says, I can't stand her no more. I'm going to get a divorce. She said, son, she's just a nice girl. She's really pretty. She's a nice girl. He said, Mama, you don't have to live with her. Right? Because there's certain things you find out after you get married. Am I making any headway here? So justification is chopping off your past sins. It's chopping off everything and focusing on God. Because in sanctification, what do you get? You get a new spirit. It's called your wife. Everybody with me? It's called your wife because that's another person sitting there. Didn't I just read to you where Brother Brown said to entertain him, you get a new spirit? To entertain him, the spouse, him, the bridegroom? He's now got a bride to deal with. And I don't mean it that way. He's got a bride to deal with, though. And then what happens? You start cutting off all the unclean spirits. Goes out. Start chopping it away. You know, for how long y'all been dating? A year and a half? 11 months? Okay. But when you first met each other, what was it? Hey, how you doing? Fine, I'm good. You didn't know a thing about each other, right? See, the only good thing about this relationship with God is he knows everything from the get-go. But you got to confess it on this end. Or you're in iniquity. So if you get all of it out, all the unclean spirit goes out of a man, don't let them back in because you're fixing to fill yourself with your spouse. And I'm required to take care of her now. I wasn't required to take care of her before. I'm required to take care of her. You're required to take care of your wife. I promise you one thing. I still believe the Bible when it says how you treat your wife is how God's going to treat you. I would not be in your shoes. Maybe that's because we got the problems that we got now. Am I good? So in sanctification, here we are. We're not at the altar yet. Because remember, what is the new birth? The new birth is a coming together and a production of something. Everybody with me? It's a union that's going to produce something. It's going to produce children. How did you get here? A union between your mom and your daddy. How did you get here spiritually? A union between your mama, which is the word, and your daddy, which is in heaven, coming through that man right there. Brought a lot of y'all, birthed a lot of y'all into the body of Christ from that man right there. Spiritual multiplication. Because of what? A marriage. But before you're married, man, you got all these things that you... am I right? You worry about stuff that you didn't have to worry about. Same way when you come to sanctification, when you're not even born again, you're still getting to know God. Ain't that why I said he'll give you a new spirit? So that you can, what, welcome God and be able to live with yourself. Because you got another life coming in. You got something coming in and God knows what he's doing, but you don't. Thank God we got a husbandman that knows what he's doing. We're floundering around down here still after 43 years. June shakes her head sometimes. Well, once in a while, once in the morning, while in the afternoon. At me. But you know what we've done though?
we've accepted the challenge. You two have accepted a challenge. God accepts the challenge. He wants a bride. He wants somebody he can birth others from. That's why he gives you the new birth. That's why I read the scripture where it says you cannot know about what I'm talking about without Jesus Christ being in your soul. Without an intimate relationship with God. You cannot understand. Because look, I'm talking to these two. They're getting ready to get married. Me and June know exactly what's going on. Bob and Monica know exactly what's going on. But Michael's going, what? What? What y'all talking about? Because he's not married yet. Right? Because he doesn't know what we're talking about. Just like you don't know what I'm talking about if you're not born again. Right? Because Michael's sitting there going, what do you mean? I gotta understand that. Yeah, you do. And then you gotta keep her till you die. The vow does say, till death do us part. And that doesn't mean if you kill them, that makes you a murderer. And you don't go to heaven either. So just be careful. But everybody understand what I'm saying? You think about your courtship, and you think about your courtship. Then if you're not born again, go through that courtship that you went through. Everybody has, except for the ones that haven't got married yet. Everybody's went through a courtship. And Thomas is going, I still want to play basketball. You know why? Because you're not born again. It's okay. Right? You get born again, you still want to play basketball, but you got another life involved. You got to ask your wife if you can go play basketball. I used to go hunting all the time until I got married, and then I had to ask my wife if I could go. Well, I kind of told her. I'm sorry. I know it's all good. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get right. You have nothing else to throw at me either, so I'm going to stand over here. Can't throw it while you're over here talking to these girls. But we understand each other. But now listen. Once you get married, there's two people coming together. And you become intimate. And everybody understands what I'm saying. So I said, try to preserve your body the best you can. Try to do the best you can. Because that would be so... same way with you and God. Be a virgin. Be a virgin when you marry God. Not having all that filth that you got to ask forgiveness all the time. Because you know what? Even when you get married, you're going to have to ask forgiveness again. And again. And again. And again. One more time, Regina. And again. So asking forgiveness is not over with. But marriage is beautiful. So when we come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's beautiful. Listen, it revolutionized my life. It doesn't matter if there was another spirit came in me. Because see, it's not that new spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. So now he and I can be intimate because I'm his bride. We can be intimate with God. He'll let us in places that we never were. You know, you're not going to get in, Sister Lily, you're not going to get into a place and you say, I'm married, but you're not. You got to prove that you're married. Wedding band of grace. You got to prove you can get into a certain place. Listen, let me just be honest. I'm going to try to make this vanilla. When I got married to June, there wasn't another person in the room. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody got me? I didn't bring a visitor. That's our problem. We don't want to let go of the past. We bring the visitors, and we want God to be intimate with us, and we still all got this and that and the other to deal with at sanctification. Everybody with me? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Am I making sense? I just thought about this morning. I thought, man, it's just like a marriage. Because now we look Christ in the bride and all. That's fine. That's okay. But you got to get over here and get born again first. You got to be born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. But you really don't know about a marriage if you've never been married before. But we got a heavenly father. We've got a bridegroom that knows all about it. And he knows whether you're going to stay the course. But you know what? It's sanctification, even if he don't know. If he knows you're not going to stay the course, he'll let you continue on through sanctification. But if you don't get it filled, guess what's going to happen? Another husband's going to come back.
If you don't get sealed in. Sister Regina's welcome to my home anytime she wants to. Well, not exactly. Well, no, I say that. You know why? Because she's not my wife. But I can't say that to June. It is her house. Right? Amen. And Lord, please don't let Regina and Sister Trudy get in your house. Trudy Collins. They'll make your power bill go up $100 a month. Come home one time, thought my house was on fire, and it was Regina. And I know they might have been scared of the dark, but I could hear the meter spinning when I got out of the car. I said, turn these lights off. You know what Regina said? I told her. Isn't that the devil? And I told her. Isn't that what you said? Trudy was like, told me. You know what? And here they go. You know, it's them demons arguing with each other. You know what I mean. Them demons arguing with each other. Same way with us. You bring something to light. You bring something to light in your life, and then demons go to fighting. You know what? Just back off and let them fight. Let your husband take care of them. Because when the husband of that house walked in the door, what'd I do? I said, y'all paying the power bill this month. Cut them lights off. Right? Good man of the house. But remember, if they would have done it in their house, I couldn't have said anything. Because it's not my house. That's why this vessel needs to be God's. And when it's God's, we reverence that house. That's why we do the things of God. That's why we don't cut our hair. That's why we don't do the things we used to do. It's not because it's written in the Bible. Yes, it's written in the Bible. But it's something we do out of love. It's something we do out of love. You don't know it. You never know a love for a woman unless you're married to one. Oh, I've got this girlfriend. Well, be careful. Unless you're intimately married and spend time, you don't know that person. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But once you come together and you work on this, it's kind of like Shonda Pierce said the other day, you know, the girl that's a comedian, Christian comedian. She said, you know, she said, when you first get married, your husband's laying there and he goes, she said, that's kind of cute. She said, but 30 years later, get out of here, husband, get away from me. What? Things change? Lily, you got that to look forward to. But now listen. So the qualities, I wrote myself a note. The quirks, the likes, and the dislikes. That's the unclean spirit in your relationship with your spouse. All that's got to be pushed out. Because you know what? It's two of you now. It's not just me and it's my. No, two of you working together. Everybody with me on that? All right? Same way with God. We know who the husband is, but listen, we're a bride. We've got to get ourselves ready, as the Bible tells us. Amen? We got to get ourselves ready. The five wise virgins were dressed and ready to go. Five foolish were too, but the five wise had the Holy Ghost, and they were getting ready to be intimate with their bridegroom. The other five didn't know anything about that because they wasn't ready to get intimate. They thought they were close enough. They went ahead and put all their garments on. They already put their... They had lamps too! They just didn't have any oil. They didn't go to the right place to get it. But now listen, just for a second, and then we'll close. I'll pick the rest of this up this afternoon. This will be 42A, and this afternoon will be 42B, because I'm only down three quotes. Because look, let me read this right here, and then I'll make a comment, and then we'll close. Then in dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together and want all things in Christ. I'm not finished with the marriage yet. Hang on. Because there's got to be a consummation. And at that consummation, there's got to be a union, and then there's got to be something that produces out of that. One thing in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. And also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, what? Our bridegroom, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory, first trusted in Christ. And whom he also trusted after. After you got married. Hello, somebody. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Listen, when you get married, when Brother Zach and Sister Lily gets married, that's the earnest of their life. It's a down payment. They put a down payment that they're going to live together. And then if there's going to be a union, then you can produce a child from that. Everybody with me on that? I said, you can. I don't like this. Get married and get pregnant all at one time. It just messes your life up a little bit. So, but anyway, if God's providence, then that's okay. You know, like I said, I have a hard time being me. I don't want to be God. Okay. I have a hard time being me. So I'm not going to do that and step in the way, but just be wise. You know what? Talk about it. Talk about it. Okay. Not on the first date. How many kids you want to have? We ain't even had coffee yet. Watching all y'all. Watching you. Listen, we're getting a life lesson, but I told you not a long time ago, if you can't see your walk of God, with God, in your daily, in your life, from your baby all the way to now, then you've missed it. How simple is that? If you've come from your baby, drinking milk, eating meat, going through life, you know, like this. Of course, men till about 40. They're like that. But what? But then you what? Then you turn your focus on one thing. Not all them old boyfriends and girlfriends, not all them old places you went to. There's somebody caught your attention. Oh, he's a nice looking guy. Man, his word is true. He's eternal. He's beautiful. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's good when I'm bad. He's good when I'm bad. He provides my needs. I want to focus myself on that person. Because the world folks, they see the husband of the world. And they focus in their life on him. Debauchery, lying, stealing, cheating, whoring, name it. Right? But something has turned me to see my lover. To see the one I want to fall in love with. Because I got to get to know him first. Amen? Same way with all of us. We got to know our spouse first before we fell in love with them. I'm telling you, I'm sorry. That's exactly what happened. Same way with this right here. That statue of perfect man is nothing more than your married life. Once you get married at the bottom, that's your married life going through all the way to the headstone. That all right? Even if we don't get the rest of this finished, it's 11:52. But listen, let's look at this, though. There's a union. I wrote myself a note. A union. Cleaned and set aside for service. Because you know what? Not playing with the world no more. You focused, like I said, you focused on one person. Zach. You're going to turn and look at her on the day you get married. Now, I've never been to a wedding where they face away from each other. Right? I've never been to one where they look at each other and go, I don't know about that. No, you're going down the aisle going, oh yeah, finally. All right? He's the one. I hope we did that. I know some man made it halfway down the altar and turned and ran, but usually when they get right up here, they're standing in front of each other. I couldn't tell you. They said there was 200 and something people at my wedding back in 1978. And blah, blah, blah. I don't even remember who was in it. I just remember that when they opened that door back there, there come my bride. And I want to be real honest with you. I had a girlfriend sitting in the sanctuary. Jim knows that. I mean, that's no, but I couldn't even remember their name. I knew who she was, though, because she was fixing to come right here. And we were getting ready to form a union. We had cleaned ourselves up. She had got herself ready. But did they look at me when I came out with a preacher? Brother Charlie Woodby was the preacher. Dad was my best man. We all come out, and there's not even any music. Jeffrey, remember we came out? Yeah. They didn't care about us. I didn't care if we ain't had anything on. I told him, I said, look, all these people are naked. Don't worry about it. Well, he was about to fall. I was holding him. He was going like this. I hope we all get drunk like that when we meet our spouse, the Holy Ghost. We can't stand up. That's what makes you, when you get the union, when you get the Holy Ghost, it'll make you wobble. It made them wobble on the day of Pentecost, didn't it? Thought they was drunk. But I told Jeffrey, I said, don't worry, son. I said, just pretend all these people are naked and you'll be fine. Well, they happened to leave the microphone on while I said that. So everybody in that Methodist church heard it. So anyway. But they really, I mean, we come walking out and, you know, the people are kind of just sitting there. They're going. But boy, when that boom, boom, ba boom, boom, ba boom, when that door opened, what happened? Is that not the song? No. I always thought it was dum, dum, da, dum, 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 dum. Anyway. But what happened, huh? Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. But when they started playing the wedding march, what happened? Everybody gets up and they turn that way. Right? Because it was the bride's day. The bride, the groom, they didn't care nothing about him. They just knew that bride, it was her day. And there was going to be a union afterwards. And that union sometimes produces a child. So now let's go to the new birth. Everybody with me? Because when a man and a wife gets together and they participate and have a baby, or they're getting ready to have a baby, and she says, I'm pregnant, what do? You're expecting. Right? Yeah. Used to, we couldn't even say pregnant. Right. No, you just said, oh, she's expecting. Yeah. Expecting what? But that's what it is. You're expecting, yeah, in the family way. You're expecting something to happen. You're expecting that baby to come out. You're expecting a birth. When you get in that union with God, you're expecting a birth. You're expecting a new birth that you've never experienced before. But remember, the life doesn't go in that baby till it's born. That's why we're children of God when we're born again. Sure, we're potential in justification and sanctification, but we can fall off. We can turn around and run away. We can end this wedding. We can say, I don't love you anymore. There's something happened. There's something going on. Because remember the sower of the seed, the tares? Remember? I'm planting my seed. They just preach too long. Y'all won't talk about long preachers, and it's almost 12 o'clock. Go to Spoken Word Tabernacle, where Lily goes, or used to go. Brother Stephen will give you about 2.5 hours, won't he? 3 hours. The last one was 3 because I was watching it because she was singing on it. 3 hours. And he told them. He said, I hope y'all slept well last night because we're going to be here a while. But when the Word of God's coming forth, I really don't care. So the union, real quick, because it is 11:58. The union produces what? Produces a child. But you're expecting. Do you come to church expecting? Amen. Do you come to church with expectation that something's going to happen? Somebody's going to get birth. Somebody's going to get new life. Somebody's going to get their healing. Somebody's going to get their salvation. Somebody's going to get their demons cast out. Or do you just come to church because I told you to? Please don't ever come back if that's it. Please don't ever come back if you're here because I told you to. If there's not a desire, listen, ladies, there was a desire in your heart to have that baby. Not leave it in there. It's normal to have children, but it don't go past 9 months. You can't hold them for 2 or 3 years. You got to let it out. You got to be expecting something's going to happen. Expect that you get something from God. Let's stand to our feet. We got to stop right here. I don't want to go past 12. You love the Lord. We'll start right here. Didn't even get to the meaty part of the sermon. Of course, I hope you enjoyed the milk and cookies. So, yeah, we'll come back at 2 o'clock. We'll start again on this one. But God bless you. Think about that.
expectation. Brother Brown preached expectation many, many times. But when he's preaching, you think, well, we're expecting. We're expecting the husband and wife. They had a union. So we're expecting a birth. I'm expecting the 19 people that's been baptized. I'm expecting a birth. If you're not born again, you keep driving. I was thinking this morning, sitting back there singing songs. I thought, Lord, if we just keep entering in and keep entering in, it's like a snowball. Once you get that thing rolling down the hill, what happens? It gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. Amen? That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about this. It says add. Do you know the definition of addition? It's not going backwards. Addition is adding to, making something greater. That's what I want to see, something greater than we've ever seen before. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. It's 12 o'clock. Lord, where does time go? Father, we pray that you just be with us now as we go eat a natural meal. Father, if there be anybody here that's sick, we pray that you'd heal them, Father. If there's a need, Lord, we could carry it on to the second service, Lord. If they really need to be prayed for, we'll get out of the building, Lord, and let it rest. Lord, please don't let us rest, though. Don't let us be. I know one thing for sure. You're not a sorry husband. You're my Lord and Savior. Amen. You're not going to bail out on me. You're not going to do things wrong to me. But, Lord Jesus, as human beings, we do things wrong every day to you. Lord, help me to be a better wife. Help me to be a better bride for you. And then help us all be better husbands and wives down here, Lord, because we have to live this human life until you come, or until the body changes, Lord. We still have to live with each other. We may have said some comical things, but we know that life is serious. It's serious in the consequences and the vows that we make, and it's serious about a lot of things, the decisions that we make, Lord. But I pray that you would comfort us, and we'll put you first. And we'll look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, as we're going to talk about this afternoon. We're going to talk about faith. Father, just forgive us of our sins and bless us, Lord. Take care of us as we come back, Lord, at 2 o'clock. Just be with your bride, Lord. Raise us up, Lord. We've had a union. If we're born again, now we're going to produce a child. And I pray, Lord, that you will get all the honor and glory. In your precious name we ask. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. He will joy and comfort give you. Take it.